are going to continue with Fundamentals of Ultrans. I really don't know where we're going to stop, because I'm just like, there's really no particular place to stop, because there's just so much. Ephesians chapter 5. We want to simplify further, looking at the same principles we've been looking at, but trusting the Spirit of God to enable us to simplify further those concepts that undergird utterance when it comes to the believer. And the reason is because the inheritance that he has in Christ Jesus is directly connected to our understanding of this very important aspect of our Christian walk. Dominion is expressed primarily through words. And that's why the first thing that happened on the day of Pentecost after they were filled is that they began to speak, because whatever has control over a man's tongue actually has control over that man's life. So it's not a coincidence that the first thing that happened as a result of the resurrection and the glorification of Jesus is that men's tongues came under the influence of God. And then they were able to express things that was extremely important to that seated position. So we're still looking at some of those principles and concepts, and we'll be trying to simplify further and further, because the plan is to demystify as much as possible utterances, supernatural utterances, so that we can see that when it comes to the manifestations of the Spirit, it depends much more on us than it depends on God. That's the whole essence of this teaching series, because we are fighting against religious mindsets. We're fighting against myths and traditions that have placed this at the disposal of God, or God's prerogative rather than the man. And so we are saying that in Christ Jesus, we have received. And then we are plumbing the depths of what we have received, learning how to bring what we have received into operation, so that we can enjoy maximally what God has given to us in Christ Jesus. So again, let's explore some of those concepts again. Looking at Ephesians chapter 5, let's be from verse 17. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 17, the Bible says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Verse 17 again. "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." In other words, being unwise is being outside of God's will, or not understanding what God's will is. He now says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." So if we're going to look at verse 17 and 18, we can say that when it says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise," it means it's something that's within the control of our will. We can choose to be, we can choose not to be. Amen? See, but understanding what will of the... What's God's will? Don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess. Or that translation is where you, that will ruin you or destroy your life. It says, but be filled with the Spirit, or come under the influence of the Spirit. Now, again, if you're not careful when it comes to interpreting which spirit is he referring to, last week we saw one or two things in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Because once you think it's referring primarily to the Holy Spirit, you are likely to miss what he's talking about. He says, but be filled with the Spirit. Remember what we saw in Acts chapter 2 last week. Look at Acts chapter 2. Then we'll go to 1 Corinthians 14. I'm going to be try my best to be as slow as possible. I want every one of us to get it, because we have Friday. We have all night. And there are no superstars. Everyone is a star. Hallelujah. So, yieldedness is simply a function of understanding. Once you understand, you're already, you're set. There is no fear where understanding is. You know exactly what will happen, because you know how it's meant to happen. Acts chapter 2 from verse 1. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting." So in verse 2 we see it filled all the house where they were sitting. Verse 3 says, "And it appeared unto them cloven tongue like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them." Verse 4. "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them" what? "Utterance." Now, again in verse 2, it says, "And the sound that came like a rushing mighty wind filled all the house where they were sitting." And then it said that the word "filled" in verse 2 is different from the word "filled" in verse 4. The word "filled" in verse 2 implies when you are pouring something into a vessel that is empty. until the thing occupies space. That's what it means to be filled. But in verse 4, it uses a different word. The word in verse 4 means to come under the influence of something that is already inside of you. So I use a natural illustration about the fact that if you mix cassava flakes, you know cassava flakes, okay, you need to be sure cassava flakes. When you pour it in water and you put sugar and you don't stir it up, if you don't stir it and you taste the water, the sugar will not reflect in the water. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But it doesn't mean the sugar is absent. The sugar is just not mixed with the water. It hasn't dissolved throughout. But when you use a spoon to stir it, what happens? The taste circulates until you can fill it up. The same mindset is behind that instruction. The Bible says, first of all, the Spirit of God filled the place where they were sitting and obviously entered into them. Then the next phase was the fact that they now yielded to the influence of the Spirit and they began to do something. So in other words, the first part wasn't something within their power, but the second part was within their power. So the first part was when they got born again, and we said that no one can get born again without the Spirit of God. But we also said something about the fact that when you get born again and when you get filled with Spirit, it's one single event. We have had separate experiences because we have been taught separately. But no one can get born again but by the Spirit of God. For no man can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So if you got born again by the Spirit of God, we saw, contrary to traditional thinking and teaching, that in Acts chapter 2 was when the old church got born again and they were filled that they began to speak. We saw that in Acts chapter 8 also, when Philip went down to Samaria to preach Christ unto them and they received the word of God, and Peter and John came, they were also filled and they began to speak. In Acts chapter 10, in Cornelius' house, Peter was still teaching. When the Holy Ghost fell, they were filled and they began to speak. In fact, the way Peter and the others that went with him knew they were filled was because they began to speak. So we notice that there's something about they getting saved and speaking at the same time. Which means speaking therefore in tongues is a characteristic of the recreated spirit. That singular fact is important. Speaking in tongues is a characteristic of the recreated human spirit. It means that if you can't speak, you cannot be born again and not be able to speak. You might be born again and not understand that you can, but you can't be born again without the ability to do so. That's why Jesus says, in my name is a portable way of saying, those who receive life in my name will speak. In my name they shall speak with new tongues. This sign shall follow those that believe in my name. In my name, by my authority, my placement, by my status, by the life which they receive, they shall speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. So in Acts chapter 2, why are we looking at Acts chapter 2? Let me share another fundamental principle of interpreting the scriptures. Any place in the scripture where the first mention of a spiritual activity or phenomenon takes place, within the context of that passage, you will find all the principles that undergird that particular subject. Let me say that again. Anywhere in the scriptures where a particular being or a principle is mentioned, you'll find all the concepts that undergird that principle in that particular passage. So by the law of first mention, the first time tongues were spoken was in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, the house was filled. That's verse 2. Verse 4 says that, and they began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. Where does it start from? And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And we said the word filled there means that they did something that was not clearly spelled out in verse 4. They did something. You could say that in writing out, Luke was the writer of the book of Acts. He skipped a particular line. What was the line? They submitted their will and began to speak. Why did they do that? They were already filled. What does it mean to be filled again? To be filled there actually means that they yielded to what they were filled with. Or they gave in to their recreated spirit. Hallelujah. You know, Acts 2, the way it's written, is written this way. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. So everyone that reads Acts 2 thinks that what happened to them happened suddenly. They were not aware it was going to happen. Not so. Remember clearly that Jesus had spent 40 days teaching them. Question, what do you think he was teaching them? Because he has told them that they should tarry in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father will come. So they went to that place and waited on the day of Pentecost because they were instructed to do so. So when the Holy Ghost came, they were expecting the Holy Ghost to come. They were expecting the new birth to take place. They knew it would happen on the day of Pentecost. Hence, they were there as early as the time it was recorded. The time that the people gathered round because of the commotion was the 3rd hour of the day or 9 a.m. in the morning. It means they had been speaking since 6 a.m. That doesn't sound like an accidental gathering. That was a deliberate gathering. It means they followed the instruction of Jesus. And because of that instruction, they went to gather there waiting for the manifestation of the promise. Hallelujah. Look at Luke chapter 24. We'll come back and then apply this. Luke chapter 24. Luke 24, are you there? Let's go all the way down to verse 44. Look at what Jesus told them. This is where the last words he spoke to them, Luke's record. And he said unto them, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Did you see that? Is that in your Bible? Let me read again. These are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Did you notice Jesus is actually saying that the book, law of Moses, the book of Psalms, and that of the prophets won't make sense until you understand they are talking about me. In other words, if you're reading the law of Moses, you're reading the book of Psalms, and you're reading in the prophets, and you can't see Jesus, that those books will not make sense. So there are many things that are recorded there. Anywhere is not pointing to Christ, you know, you're not meant to focus on it. As a matter of fact, if you don't see Christ there, you don't really understand what you're reading. That's what it means. The Bible says that he spoke to them about those things, that those things were fulfilled, written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then open ye their understanding, that they might want understand the scriptures. What scriptures did he open? The law of Moses, the book of Psalms, and the prophets, all things that were written concerning him. Hallelujah. We can open to 2 in the book of Psalms for you to see. Look at the book of Psalms. Psalm 110. So you understand that he began to explain certain things to them. Psalm 110. Which incidentally, Peter also quoted. Look at verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy one footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, rule down in the midst of thy enemies, that people shall be willing in the day of thy power, and the beauty of holiness from the womb of morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord has sworn I will not repent, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Those scriptures were speaking about Jesus. They were speaking about his ascension and his seating. The Lord said unto my Lord, was some David spoke by inspiration, but it wasn't referring to David. As a matter of fact, for David, it must have been confusing because he prophetically said, the Lord said to my Lord. So who is the Lord who is saying to the Lord? And Jesus began to open that these things were written concerning me. So he opened their understanding to what scriptures were saying and the areas of scriptures they were referring to him. This is the book of Psalms. Look at the book of the prophets. Look at Joel. Look at what Joel said concerning him. Joel was the one Peter was quoting on the day of Pentecost. So you realize that the reason why Peter quoted Joel on the day of Pentecost was because Jesus had taught them that this is how the scriptures will be fulfilled. Remember, he opened their understanding that they might want to understand the scriptures. So there is what you call a legal basis for the manifestation of the Spirit or for utterances in the new creation. There's a legal basis. You need to understand that. Are you there? Look at verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. I can stop the book and go on. But notice that this is exactly what Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost. When he got on from verse 16 and began to tell them, these people are not drunk as you suppose, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Where did Peter get that teaching from? How did he know to quote that scripture? Jesus had opened their understanding that they may what? Understand the scriptures. So he took them through several passages. Look at Isaiah 28. This background is important because again, you know, God does things in an orderly fashion. that it might be fulfilled concerning him means that the prophetic scriptures had a time frame. Had a time frame means that Jesus told them that, listen, when I ascend to the Father's right hand, this scripture, you will see the fulfillment. This other scripture, you see the fulfillment. This other scripture will become a reality. So, the utterance that was given to them through their requested spirit on the day of Pentecost was a fulfillment of the prophetic scriptures. It means they had been written. It wasn't accidental. It was deliberate. Hallelujah. And you can understand that it was easier for them to believe because he had been telling them before he went to the cross that the Son of Man will be in the belly of that for 3 days and on the third day will rise up again. And they saw that he rose up. So obviously whatever else he was going to teach them was going to come to pass too. That was the acid test. Will he rise from the dead? And he rose from the dead. Glory to God. And his rising from the dead is the fulfillment of scriptures. So even his death, burial, and resurrection had been written in the scriptures. You know, it's extremely important for you to understand that every aspect of what Jesus went through had been depicted in the scriptures. Psalm 16 writes out the fact that, "Thou will not leave my soul in hell, nor suffer your Holy One to see corruption. My flesh will rest in hope." In Psalm 16, it had been stated there through one of the prophecies of David. Isaiah 53 picks it up also. Who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And what we shall see, there is no beauty that we shall desire him. And then he continues. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We are still mistreating the spirit of God, afflicted. Yet he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So even the process that Jesus went through in hell had been written in the scriptures. Let me put it this way. If the process was written, the outcome was sure to come to pass. Do you get the process? Do you get it? So Jesus taught them for 40 days. Now, every day teaching for 40 days should prepare them for what will happen that day. So the day of Pentecost didn't happen suddenly. The sound that came happened suddenly, but the event wasn't sudden to the disciples. 120 people, he had been teaching them for 40 days. Back to Luke chapter 24. So the day of Pentecost didn't happen suddenly. The sound that came happened suddenly. Glory to God. But the event wasn't sudden to the disciples. So follow closely, because again, this explains the background for everything we say we believe. It's the fundamentals for why a believer has utterance all the time, not some of the time. I said Isaiah 28 earlier, isn't it? We'll get to it. But go back. Are you back in the book of Luke? All right. So it says, verse 45. Then open ye their understanding, that they may understand what the scriptures. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary or it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning where? At Jerusalem. Why were they gathered in Jerusalem, where we call the upper room? Because he told them the preaching will begin where? In Jerusalem. Look at what it says again. And you are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Go with me to Acts chapter 1. You there? From verse 1. Taking you to your scriptures deliberately. Because sometimes we say certain things and you don't know there's a scriptural basis for everything we're saying. The former treatise have made old Theophilus of all that Jesus began both to do and what? Teach. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them how many days? Did you see that? And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. What's the summary of speaking of those things? He taught them about the things that were about to happen. Why was the teaching necessary? He opened their understanding to the scriptures. It means he began to explain to them that these certain events are about to start taking place. Get ready, prepare. Hence, on the day of Pentecost, they were actually in prayer. when events occurred. So they were expecting it. They had also been instructed on how to experience it or what to do. Notice that Acts chapter 2 verse 4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak. How can 120 people begin to speak? And nobody else sang. But they all spoke. Not that some sang, some spoke. Everybody did the same thing at first. That was the first thing they did before they did other things. They all began to speak. It means they were taught. They have been instructed. Jesus spent 40 days explaining to them how the experience will be. Let me read what I do. See what it says. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith ye, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with Holy Ghost not many days hence. Hallelujah. Did you see that? So, Acts chapter 2 now makes sense. If they sat and they waited with the understanding that they will be endued, Peter got up and said, the basis of this experience has not just been spoken by the prophet Joel. The basis of this experience, let's continue from Acts chapter 2, verse 33.
And they waited with the understanding that they will be endued. Peter got up and said, the basis of this experience has not just been spoken by the prophet Joel.
Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father what? The promise of the one? Holy Ghost. Remember what he told them in Luke chapter 24. Tarry in Jerusalem, until I will send the promise of my Father upon you. So he says, what preceded the sending of the promise of the Father? He has to be exalted. He has to be exalted. So we establish the fact that Jesus' exaltation or speaking in tongues is proof that Jesus has been exalted. The new creation, who is wired to speak in tongues, is proof that Jesus has been exalted. If Jesus had to be exalted before the new creation came into existence and before the saint could speak with tongues, it means his status as a new creation and whatever it is that he utters through supernatural utterances is a reflection of Jesus' exalted position. Please keep that in mind. Very important. Let me explain to you what does it mean for Jesus to be exalted. It means to be raised to the highest position in the universe. It means to be given a status that no man has ever accomplished or attained. It also means to have victory over all elemental and demonic forces. It means to have control over end events. It means to have final say about outcome in life. That's what it means. That he being by the right hand of God exalted. That one right hand is also the place of authority and majesty. That's what it means. Then after he was exalted, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. You see and hear. You see and hear. So whatever he shed forth, therefore, is a reflection of his seated position. Hallelujah. Now here's what I want you to know. Because we have to move away from this thought that utterances may not flow sometimes. It is an impossibility. Let me explain again. The process by which Jesus ascended and sat is an irreversible process. You understand? You see, for you to say that utterances cease is to say that he's no longer seated. That's a tremendous indictment on God. And the Bible says, sit till I make your enemies. It means till all the scriptures will be fulfilled concerning Satan's downfall. Has he been defeated? Yes. Somebody say, Pastor, but he's running around. Yes, because there are men on the earth who are allowing him to run around. And because the earth lease is not fully over. So he's still using Adam's lease. And when that lease is over, the end will truly come. Then we'll see him for who really is a defeated foe. But now we are seeing him in light of scriptures. It's very important. Why are we sure that utterances will always flow? He being by the right hand of God exalted, he has shed forth this. So both the process by which he sat and what he shed forth can be reversed. So utterances will always be there because he is always seated. And you cannot sit him. The new creation will abide forever and utterances will abide forever. So utterances is a function of your will and my will. It's not a function of if God will. That was a religious boundary that stopped many of us from flowing and cooperating. You notice that when we got into the flow this past 3 weeks, that many people did things they didn't think they would do. It was too late, you were already in church, so you couldn't run away. And we give you a simple principle. Go to somebody speaking in tongues and see what happens. So for many of us, it has been a discovery of things that have been inside us, but we have never fully exercised. But it was always there. So they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Where does it start from? They were all filled with the Spirit. So the implication we have is that in Acts 2 verse 4, we think that God did something to them. But in Acts 2 verse 2, God did something to them. And there appeared unto them cloven tongue like as of fire and sat upon each of them. That was God's doing. That wasn't their doing. Then in Acts chapter 2 verse 4, verse 1 says, and they were all filled, or they, by the exercise of their will, based on what they had been taught, yielded to the influence of the Spirit and began to speak. If God was the one who was doing what was in verse 4, the same God will move their lips, but he didn't. They began. So their beginning was not just yielding, it was a response to what they were filled with. It means that response is what is required to give expression to what they had on the inside. So you and I, by reason of being new creation in Christ Jesus, the same day you became born again, you were filled with Spirit at the same time, supernatural utterances are rested in your spirit. But God is instructing us according to scriptures that those utterances are not meant to stay in your spirit, they are meant to be given expression to, or they are meant to come out. How do we do that? Back to Ephesians chapter 5. So whatever Paul is saying in the epistles will now make sense. Ephesians 5. Are you there?
How do we do that?
You know, it's interesting that the truths that we're looking at have always been there, but you can read truths with religious glasses. And what does that mean? You will keep pushing over to God's side what God has pushed over to your side. Now, here's the issue. As long as you push over to God's side, what has been handed over to you, nothing happens spiritually. Because God can undo what he has done. And he can't take over your responsibility because it will make him a liar. So it means understanding is all we need to enable consistent and conscious release of our trust. That's all. It's not more of God that you need. It is yielding to God more. How do you yield? Understanding. Be not unwise, but have an understanding what the will of God is. What is God's will according to Ephesians 5? Be not drunk with wine. Notice he used an analogy that you cannot miss. What I mean by you can't miss it? Nobody gets drunk with wine by accident. Nobody does. Nobody will come to you, force your mouth open, pour wine down your throat. If they pour it down your throat, you are responsible for opening your throat and swallowing. You can spit it out. But if you like the taste and you swallow, who is drinking? You. Even if they are pouring. So it is you in agreement with whatever who is doing it is doing to you. Whatever they are doing to you. So it says, be not drunk. It means that you had a choice when it comes to drinking natural wine. What will natural mind do? It will cloud your senses and then take control over your body. It says, in the same way that you exercise your will and yield to the Spirit. In other words, as you know that wine is available, you know the Spirit is also available anytime. If I let me put it this way, wine may not always be available, your Spirit is always available. You may want to drink wine at a time in the night when all the pubs are closed, but your Spirit is always there with you. Be not drunk when wine is excess or dissipation or that which brings you, but be filled or be yielded to the Spirit. So it is my will allowing my Spirit expression. That implies something important. Spirit can be expressed without the yieldedness of man's will. Hallelujah. Let me say that another way. I can't get drunk by accident. I get drunk deliberately. I get drunk based on how many cups of alcohol I choose to ingest. I can take a little and stop. I can take more and come under the influence. But it is usually difficult for me to take a little and come under influence. I will need to take a quantity before I come under influence. So I can yield to the Spirit a little. Here's the challenge. Some yield a little, then they now tell us that that is all of the Spirit that there is. You just lied. Why did you get a little? You yielded a little. How can you get more? You yield more. Why do you speak in tongues for 5 minutes? That's all you decide to do. Is there more of tongues where that one came from? There is much more than that. What will the tongues do? You are yielding to the Spirit. How are you speaking in tongues? You are yielding your will. It means the tongues is not burning your mouth that you cannot hold it back. You were the one who decided to speak it. How many of you will agree that? Let me say it again. It's very interesting that we somehow, it's just this thing about us thinking that when I'm in church, I mean, this is going on. Power God just come. Then, I just arise. Can you come under influence when initiated by God and say, yes? What is God's best? You yielding by yourself. Why are you yielding? You understand it is always there. You understand that in the same way that God is always present, your spirit is always alive in God, and your spirit has deposits already. So let me say this, and think about this cautiously. The direction that you are looking for, that you are praying about, is not, may not yet be available to your mind. It has always been clear to your spirit. So that's why it seems as though when I'm speaking in tongues, direction becomes clearer. Somebody says, why is it clear? Very simple. My mind is catching up with the knowledge my spirit already has. Hence, when I speak in tongues, if I understand what tongues is all about, if I understand it's an exercise of my will, I can speak in tongues deliberately and harvest direction from my tongues. I can. I actually can. It means I can use it intelligently to get results. Intelligently. Now, here's the issue. We think it sometimes works. That's where the problem is. It doesn't sometimes work. It's a law. Jesus taught them, told them, stay, tarry, you'll be filled, you learn how to yield. When you begin to speak, more utterance will flow from. After you begin to speak, another utterance are flowing from. Notice they have been speaking for 3 hours, then it was noise abroad. How many remember that passage? When it was noise abroad, how come they heard them speak? They began to interpret what they were saying until everybody heard what they were saying. Who chose to interpret? How did they interpret? Jesus had taught them that when they come and they are gathered and they get their attention, switch from tongues to understanding and tell them everything you've been saying in tongues since. Hey, did you understand? Now, we now understand 1 Corinthians 14, why Paul said, when you are gathered together and every one of you speaks in tongues, and there coming those that are unlearned and unbelievers, we did not say you are mad. But if they are coming and unlearned and unbeliever, and you all prophesy, they will fall in their face and testify that God is in you of the truth. Who was the people who spoke in tongues? The same people who are now prophesying. What did they do? They switched. The God told them to switch, not directly. They were following the law of when people come into the assembly, change from tongues, change over to prophecy by will. Hallelujah. So when we ask you, Mr. Basoke, do you have utterance tonight? Your answer will be based on two factors. If you're leaning on what you think you have sensed, you will say no. If you're leaning on the relation of God's word, you will say yes. Can you see there's a difference? What you think you have is, when I was coming, I didn't sense anything. As I'm sitting, I can't even sense anything. Don't let them call me. What are you doing? You are depending on the senses. You won't pick anything. Because tongues doesn't originate from the senses. It originates from your spirit. So we're telling that, actually, why you think you don't have anything is because what you really have is not necessarily now in your mind, except you have learned how to transfer it. It is presently in your spirit. How do you now lay hold on it? Tongues. Hallelujah. Do you get it? Tongues. In other words, according to Jesus, the recreated human spirit has the ability to speak, has been gathered on utterances. He is making sense in a language that the sense, the normal, the natural mind doesn't understand, but the natural mind can be brought to the understanding. So, here is what I need to know. Now, when I'm speaking in tongues, when I first start out, my mind tells me I'm saying rubbish. But by reason of the understanding of the process, I know my mind will soon discover I wasn't talking nonsense. Because the harvest will soon come. Amen. Glory to God. So, if I want to find out what I have, how do I know? I begin to speak. We would not have discovered that Peter had a sermon, but it was because he spoke. He harvested what was in the tongues by giving a message that saved 3,000 people. Not only that, others were singing in psalms, magnifying God. They were dancing. To the point people said, they are drunk. Because they couldn't sing musical instruments. But people were dancing because they had yielded to the Spirit. How did they do it? Deliberately. Who taught them? Jesus spent 40 days teaching them. So they had scriptural basis for what they were doing. Why am I saying this? Because on Friday night, listen carefully, we are not coming for a hit and miss affair. It's not, we have prayed. I just hope God will move. No, we trust that you will move. Because if you don't move, we won't see God. Let me go to scripture. You know that Hebrews chapter 12 verse 15 that says that, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. It is you that are talking about. It is you. Why are you laughing? It is you that are talking about. You know what that means? It means that, and it's amazing how they misquoted that scripture. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. And believers quoted it, thinking that they are included in the no man. What that scripture is saying is this: we that we are saved, we follow peace with all men. And what? Holiness. It means that through our conduct is the only way God will be visibly manifest to those who can't see him. Someone says, why? Because we carry him on the inside. Glory to God. We express God. So when we come together and we all start with tongues, and they're coming, those that are unbelievers, how are they going to see God? Through the things that we say by prophesying. Question is this: it means the power to show them God is lies with us. Let me say that another way. We have to say some truth until it sinks in. It means that even God can't show himself if we don't talk.
Question is this:
that's a serious matter. Somebody says why? He puts the circumference of operation within the body. It can't be seen until we speak and we act. And we primarily act by starting out with speaking. That's what it teaches. Because the first place that they were filled, they began by speaking before they did any other thing. So we know that they must have danced. Because Peter said, he has shed forth this which you can now see and hear. So if you are thinking that we're just forming, we're not forming it. We are acting according to the first time it happened. Some people must have, nobody sees you sitting down. They will all say the one accord. And all you are doing is talking. They will say you are drunk. Nobody concludes people are drunk when they are. How many of you agree? No, no, no. Drunkenness involves actions. Where you go? And they're like, who is cracking jokes? Nobody. And you're in your own world. And then you are moving, swaying to music that they cannot hear. Or you are dancing within a circumference. And then you check their time. 9 a.m. in the morning. It's already high. What's going on? Peter didn't say they were not drunk. He said, but they are not drunk as you suppose. This is that which was spoken. So Peter began to use the expression to teach them. Where did Peter get the boldness? Remember, this is Peter. The first pope. This is Peter. Who denied Jesus 3 times? First time, I don't know him. Second time, I have never seen him in life. Third time, I swear my mother's grave. If I have anything to do with the game, arrest me.
This is Peter.
The same Peter now stood up. This is that which was spoken. Where did boldness come from? Something had changed. Life and strength was inside of him. He was harvesting the results of 3 hours of speaking in tongues. Things were coming out. He wasn't memorizing a sermon. He was speaking under the influence of his recreated spirit by the help of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's how men saw and experienced God that day. So the invisible God was walking through visible men with visible expressions through yielded vessel. Why? They yielded their tongue. Their spirit took over their tongue. Language, supernatural things began to be expressed through their yieldedness. But they were the ones who yielded. They were not forced to speak. They decided to speak. So Ephesians 5, 17 and 18 makes sense. And be not drunk with wine when it's excess, but be filled, yielded, or come under the influence of the Spirit. Which Spirit? Your recreated Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians 14.
They decided to speak.
So glory to God.
5:17 and 18 makes sense. And be not drunk with wine when it's excess, but be filled, yielded, or come under
brethren,
the influence of the Spirit.
I want you to be so loaded that wherever you are on the surface of the earth, if a product of Noble House, you should be able to teach anybody that this is the easiest thing any believer can receive through you. For there are many who are saved who have never spoken supernatural. For it is a certain to be handed over the key of victory, and to go and hide the key and say, I have not victory. For even the reason one is seated and he can do no more than he has done. For what he has done is more than enough. What he has done is what the enemy is afraid of. What he has done is locked in the heart of the saints. And so the saint must be instructed in righteousness to bring out the key and execute the judgment that is written. That judgment will plow the enemy into the ground. Again and again, there will be a reenactment of the victory that was won in those 3 days in the grave. And the enemy's cry and his antagonism will no longer be heard in the life of that saint. Hallelujah. So you notice that over the years there has been a lot of furor over the issue of speaking in tongues. Why? It's a tool that the enemy is afraid of. It's a tool that manifests the seated one and the risen one. It's a tool that announces boldly our victory in him. It's a tool that says we can no longer be accused, we have already passed every accusation. It's a tool that says we can no longer be condemned, we have been judged in him already. Hallelujah. So it's something that we have to learn how to give ourselves to more and more. The key is not in his hand. The key is in our hand. He has authorized us. In his name we speak. In his name we dominate. In his name we exercise mastery. Hallelujah. Understanding is what shapes our will. Then our will releases or transforms our spirit. Then what is released dominates every situation and brings us into the rich experience of what the Father has prepared. So we're not playing around, we're not fooling around, we're dealing with the realities of the new creation. The mastery that's ours is locked inside those things that we're sharing. What are we endeavoring to pass across? That these things don't happen as God wills, they happen as we will. Hallelujah. Where are we now? 1 Corinthians 14. Look at verse 14. I want to show you something. See what it says. For if I pray, say if I pray. Say I am the one that does the praying. And this is how I pray. If I pray in unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. But I can pray in an unknown tongue anytime I choose. It's my spirit that's been expressed. My spirit prays in tongues. Amplified says, my spirit with the Holy Ghost which is in me, or by the help of the Holy Ghost which is in me. But my spirit is what I pray. So verse 3 now says, what is it then? Or as a consequence that I understand that when I'm praying in tongues, my spirit finds expression. I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. In other words, since I will to pray in the spirit, I can will to pray in the understanding. If I can will to sing in the spirit, I can will to sing in understanding also. Hallelujah. It's my will that sets the things of the spirit in motion. My will. That presupposes, therefore, that the things of the spirit are resting in me. They are already given. Glory. They're already given. They're already given. So where you're seated this morning, go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Let's read verse 18 together. Ephesians 5:18. Let's read verse 18 together. And be not drunk with wine. Where is one? But be. So notice, I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with understanding also. It says, be not drunk, but be filled or yielded to the spirit, or express your spirit. Instead of expressing the influence of wine, express the influence of the spirit. Look at verse 19 now. How do I express the influence of the spirit? Speaking to who? In what? And what? And what? So, if I want to express the spirit, to express the spirit means communicate what is in the spirit. So, he now tells me, verse 19, what is present in my spirit. So, as you're seated here tonight, the Bible teaches that psalms and hymns are spiritual songs, are present in spirit. Oh, but why are we not hearing it? You are not expressing it.
So he now tells me in verse 19,
will your spirit express it by itself? No. Your spirit is under the control of your will. What shapes your will? The understanding of God's word.
Oh, but why are we not hearing it? You are not.
Hallelujah. I gave an illustration the other day. Let me give it again. If you travel out of the country to a number of foreign countries, particularly in the West, if you get to their restrooms, their conveniences, most of the urinals, hand wash basins are motion sensor controlled. Okay? So you won't see the tap. You see a faucet, but using tap. So you ask yourself, if you are forced, the first time you get there, when you don't understand, you're like, ah, how can this people make a faucet and there's no tap? Are they bush without knowing that you are the one who is bush? So you are waiting that, let me look for where the tap is so I can turn it on, and you can't find the handle, because there's no handle. Why? Then you notice, or if you are wise enough, you wait for somebody else to come in. You allow them to go, that's how a wise person learns. You allow the person, you act like if you're... You are waiting for them to go there. I'm just telling you. Wait for them to go there. You observe from the color of your eye. Okay. I see. It's just like if you go to economy class. Don't let anybody see me and tell you that just being in the plane, first class or economy, it doesn't matter. Eh? If you enter first class, you never go to economy again in your life.
You observe from the color of your eye.
And they bring out pajamas specially tailored for you. And they stretch your chair like it's a bed. And they serve you a 5-course dinner. You know that first class and economy are not the same. That God is a good God, you know. Just enter once. Now, so if I mentioned that for a purpose. So there is a way you adjust the seat belt in first class, which is not the same thing with economy class. So they may need to teach you. But if you don't want to be taught, your struggle will reveal to them that you are GGC. That you just give, that you've never been here before. So you have a choice. You move close to person, sit there close to you, and say that, excuse me, can you please? And once they teach you, you know, once you know, you know. But if you decide to struggle, everybody in that floor will say that, okay, you just came, okay. They found out. Now, the same thing also, when you go to those restrooms, it's motion sensor control, so that when you move your hand towards the washing basin, the water will start coming out in line with your motion. The same thing. Now, here is how an ignorant person thinks that, why are they forcing the water when I come close? Then you take it and say, that stopped. So it's watching me. It's watching me. Let me quickly do it. It's motion control. That means that it is your motion that determines the flow of the water. But the water is there. So your motion doesn't make the water... Put the water there. The water is there, but your motion releases the water. Your will releases the flow of the spirit. But the things of the spirit are already inside of you. What is inside you as you sit tonight? Psalms, hymns, will they come out? That's a question only you can answer based on the truth, because it's released by your will. It's not released by God or according to what our God wills. It's released according to how you will. You are the one that wills to release it. So, why are we going to have a wonderful time on Friday night? Because you will to release it. Because you will speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You will sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. You will. It's an exercise of your will. Hallelujah. I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit. Now, the fact that we will means that there is no superstar or nobody who can do it. We have one single signature in the name of Jesus, which is the name of the new creation. As long as you're a new creation, you can and you will. The question is, though you can, will you? That's the question. The one says, I'm given to singing. That's the issue. Will you bring out spiritual songs? Because it's a function of whether you will. It's not, will God give me? That's blasphemy. He has given you. You have been enriched by Him. Hallelujah. Past tense. In all utterance and all knowledge. Question, will you yield to the all utterance and all knowledge? But you have been enriched by it. So God's part is done. Question, will you do your own part?
Past tense. in all utterance, and
being
all
filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms. So if you combine Ephesians 5, 17, 18, 19, we combine it to 1 Corinthians 14, 14 and 15. What we have is this: since if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, I can start, if I want to contact my spirit or release my spirit, I deliberately start out speaking in tongues. What will happen after I start speaking in tongues? Since it's my spirit that's in expression, that same spirit, after he expresses tongues, we express other things. What are the other things? Psalms we follow, hymns we follow, spiritual songs we follow. And they all come from the same source. But what is most important? That through the exercise of my will, I can. I just can. So I'm the one that wills. I am the one that wills. Glory to God. Glory to God. So the instruction that we have by the Spirit of God through the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, again, notice, is simply telling you about what you have and telling you what to do with it. He's now saying, why are you not experiencing the fullness of the blessing of God? He says, remember, don't give yourself to wine. It doesn't carry any benefits. The same way you choose to go and drink wine, and you know it will eventually bring ruin, I want you to deliberately yield to the Spirit, or come under the influence of the Spirit. We say that what will happen, the same way somebody who gives up to wine will notice after a while that you become intoxicated or under the influence of the wine, and it ruins you, dissipation excess comes forth. It says the same way also, if you yield to the Spirit, the more you yield, the more comes out. So you are the one that even controls the measure that comes out. Hallelujah. You are the one that controls measure that comes out. If the small measure comes out, it's because you yielded in a small measure. If more comes out, it's because you yielded more. That's all. So your yieldedness is a function of, do you understand that you have been enriched? Do you understand that it is not on Friday night that God will enrich you? You are enriched as we sit here tonight. Friday night is just a way of day of you bringing forward what you have been enriched with to edify all saints. Hallelujah. Say with me, my spirit has utterances. I'm a new creation. I'm ordained of God to speak for supernaturally. Supernatural utterances abide within me. I yield to the Spirit. I come under the influence of the Spirit in other tongues, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I sing and make melody in my heart to the Lord. I can, I will, I do. Glory to God. It's so important. It's so important. You will just think that, you know whether this thing will work today. One day, my pastor told me something. We were discussing about Holy Ghost meetings. He now said, if you prepare in a particular way, format, and you experience some manifestations, prepare that same way again, you will see the same. What was he trying to say? He said, most of the time we think that what happened is a coincidence. He said, but trace it back to how did you prepare? What are the things that happened? He said, follow the same pattern, you get the same results. And I learned from him, he said that there's a way, a particular way he prepares for such meetings, that a particular manifestation will always take because there is a way he particularly prepares. Do you know that what you will see? It's not all that is offered that many take up, but many take up as far as their understanding will hand them over to. But you can enable your understanding to hand you over to much more. For some take just a sip, a little of the cup that the Father has offered. For you see, in the Spirit, the Father's cup is always spread forth. But not every single saint takes the cup and takes a sip. For some will take a sip, and some will take a great gulp, and some will drink and drink and drink, and there's no end to the content inside that cup. And so you tell yourself, I have taken a sip before. I will not turn back at the place I used to turn back, but I will drink more. I will drink more. Enough to mount up with wings as eagles. Enough to run and not be weary. Enough to walk and not faint. Enough to have new experiences. Enough to collapse time, so that the result that should have come in 5 years will come in a single month. I will drink and be full. I will drink until my vision changes. I will drink until I see what the Father sees about me. I will drink until what I thought was far away, I can suddenly say, it is mine now. It is mine now. I will take it now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you get that interpretation? Did you see the instruction that they are in? Do you know that what the Spirit of God just told us is this, that in the realm of the Spirit, to your recreated spirit, there's a cup that you are drinking from. It is the cup that the Father himself drinks from. The Bible now says, interpretation now says that it is you and I who determine how much we drink. So some will take a sip. And the reason why they've not gone beyond where they are is because all they've taken is a sip. They take only a sip and they step back. But some take a group. But there are some that just keep drinking, saying, I will go as far as I can possibly go. For since there's no restriction, there will be no limitation also to the expression of God's grace through them. So the more they drink, it will affect their physical life and their experiences in life. It will overtake it. Because to give them a strength and a fortitude such that situations and challenges that will cause many other people to collapse, they will find themselves standing strong and walking through it. David's prophecy will be fulfilled. They will run through troops. They will leap over walls. It will be from the strength of what they've drank from that cup. But that cup is always extended. As a saint, will you drink? Will you drink? That's the question. We drink. So, why have you seen little? You've only taken a sip. Are you meant to stop at the sip? No. You are meant to drink until you're full. You are meant to drink until you're drunk. You are meant to drink until your sight changes. Until you see what the Father sees. Beloved, if you see what the Father sees, victory cannot be manifest. Progress cannot become. Increase cannot be seen around you. You have to see what the Father sees. But for you to do that, you have to drink from the same cup that is offered up to you. You have to realize the cup is straightforward, offered to you, ready for you. An exercise of your will makes you take from that cup. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and what? Spiritual song. Singing and what? Making melody. So again, let's read this verse again. I'll round up now. It says, be not drunk with wine. Be not is the language of permission, but be filled, language of permission. Be not drunk, but be filled. He actually says you have a choice in two directions. Leave this, go for this, and both of them involve your choice. So being filled, therefore, according to this scripture, is not something that God does. It is something that man does. Your spirit is always loaded. The cup is always full. It's always available for drinking. Your will allows you to drink. Your will expresses spirit. Your spirit brings out things that will change your outer life. Your spirit, therefore, will bring forth things that will bless many others. Your spirit will speak as only Christ can speak. And your spirit will bring forth things that only have to do with the resurrected and the seated one. Your spirit will express victory as it is presently in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. So, I'm setting your mind in one direction. Friday, I will speak. Because before Friday, you should have spoken. Did you hear what I said? Friday, you will minister. Because before Friday, you will have one exercise your will. What will help you exercise your will? Understanding the things that are taught tonight. Because before Friday, you should have spoken. You understand? It is as I will. Friday, you will minister. I'm instructed to be filled. It means being filled is my prerogative. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's my will. It's my will. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with understanding also. I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with understanding also. It's strictly my choice. It's not God. It's me. So I'm simply going to dance to God's tune. Take off the cup. Drink till I'm full. Last week, we got a message in tongues and the interpretation that the same way a person will run in a relay race and pass the person, the first lane, the second, the third, I mean, remember that interpretation. In that sense, you are the one that runs all in four quarters. Why? You keep passing the baton to yourself. What does that mean? Don't stop after the first lap. Continue, because the strength of Jehovah drives you on. Take that baton and move, push on for that. It means that you are the one who has not pushed the boundaries. So, some will speak until they do. Some will speak until they see. It's amazing that it is even through speaking that we get to see. 1 Corinthians 2. I need you loaded tonight. Friday, you will erupt. and left to me, I'll just take a back seat. I'm a conductor. Yeah. Oh, you don't know that what brethren bring forth will bless pastor. You don't know. God, that's how God has ordained it. There are things you will say that will bless me tremendously. All right. Are we there? Okay. Let's read from verse 9. Are you there? But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that what? Love him. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For one man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received. Notice the proceeding principle. No man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knows no man except the Spirit of God. Now we have received. Now we have received. Now we have received. Now we're going to receive. Now we're going to receive. Question: when did you receive? When did you receive? I want you to show you. When did you receive? When you got born again. When you got saved, that's when you received. All you have been doing all this while to this day is learning about what you have received. But you have received it. Now we have received not the spirit which is of the world, but the spirit which is of God. What is my spirit which is of God? It means the very nature of God. And because the nature of God, he knows the things of God. Let me read them. Now we have received not the spirit which is of God, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that I want freely given. What is he calling things that are freely given? What he said in verse 9? Eyes have not seen nor ear heard, not has he entered the heart of man, things which God has prepared. The things that God has prepared is talking about the new creation. By being in equation, you have been enriched with certain things. The word enrich means inheritance. 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 That's what enrich means, inheritance. So the things which are freely given are the things you have been enriched by. Why must you know? That is how you walk in it. How does it operate? Look at verse 13, and I'll stop here. Which things also we speak? What things? The things which are freely given. Which things also we what? Speak. Not in words which man's wisdom does what? Teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Hallelujah. Glory. Or discussing things of the Spirit with those who are spiritual. That's what it actually says. Comparing things of the Spirit with those who are actually spiritual. That's what the original reading says. So, it says, which things also we speak. You know, it's amazing. You will never discover the Psalms, the hymns, and the spiritual songs that the Bible says are freely given until you start speaking. If you can understand what I just said, you understand why it is extremely important that you always start out speaking. Even when your mind is telling you, you have nothing, doubt your doubts and believe God. You hear what I said? Doubt your doubts and believe God. The Bible says, which things also we speak. What we've been freely given, how are we going to come into the realization we also speak them? Until we start speaking, we won't realize them. So the psalm that the Bible says you have in Ephesians 5, you won't know until you start speaking. The hymn that the Bible says you have, you won't know until you start speaking. The spiritual song, you won't know until you start speaking. Which things also we speak? Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves. Speaking is a trigger. Are you forced to speak? No. You choose to speak. Speaking to yourselves. Speaking to yourselves. The grace of God ensconced in the new creation comes into operation by speaking. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches. Of course, when it says not in words man's wisdom teaches, in which kind of words? Which the Holy Ghost say? What are the words which the Holy Ghost teaches? Tongues primarily. Tongues primarily. That's why we always seem to start from tongues. We do everything from tongues. Tongues on the heights, what we have. It brings to our consciousness revelation of what we have that we didn't know that we had. So, how do you start with the instruction in the written word? The Bible says I have, then I must have. How do I know which things also we speak? So I'm going to start speaking now. What will be the result? Since I'm not speaking in order to have, I'm speaking because I have. What I'm speaking will simply reveal what I have. What are you going to do on Friday? Start speaking from tonight, tomorrow. When you come on Friday, come and harvest everything you have been speaking. Hallelujah. Come on, you know, I said something. Don't be. Have you seen any intelligent farmer who plants and doesn't harvest? Imagine if the three times I've spoken in tongues and I give interpretation. Imagine if I just spoke and I just said, that's a rem, that's a rem. Don't worry. Me and God, we know how. Don't worry. Is that not foolishness? How I blessed you. No. Did you notice? Did you see me? Before I went to interpret, did you see me shaking? But then pray. It will soon come. Brethren, pay. That's the ministry of Moses. Even Moses won't do that now because he's not born again. So, he won't do that now. What am I saying? If you will simply relax and flow, it will just come. It doesn't take any special. There's no special separate anointing. Now, when it just comes like this, it's serious. No. The one you have is already serious. You just pay more attention to it. That's what it is. Just pay more attention to it. The one you already have is already serious. Just pay more attention to it. That's all. Hallelujah. Which things also we speak. Also we speak. So the more you speak, the more you are handed over to the things that are inside of you already, that you were not aware of until you began to speak. So can we just speak tonight before we go? Can we speak tonight before we go? Hallelujah. Some of us are physically tired. You've had a long day. This is the rest where which you can cause weary to rest. This is refreshing. So if you speak in tongues, rest will come. Refreshing will come. So now let's start speaking. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There are five more days left in the month. Five more days of significance. Five more days for deadlines of men and not the deadlines of God. Five more days when everything can turn around. Five more days when increase can still manifest. Five more days when the targets can still be met. Five more days when things can still change and swing around in your favor. For you see, natural wisdom, when it is depleted, then there is supernatural wisdom. There is a bank that is never depleted. There is a bank whose resources never come to an end. There is a bank that is of Jehovah, that is of the new creation. There is a bank of which there are no limits to which you can draw from. There is a bank that is your backup. So lean upon your backup. For hearing the scripture fulfilled, trust in the Lord with all your might, and lean not on your own understanding. For you see, your natural understanding, there is a limitation there. But in his understanding, there is no limitation. And so when it looks as though all the doors are locked, remember, the door within is not locked. It was placed within, for it is where the enemy cannot tamper with it. Learn therefore to open that door. Take all you need and bring it out. Yea, with it you will create doors on the outside, and help will come, access will be given, and things will turn around, and it will swing in the right direction. And there, when they say there was no way, the way will be made before you. enakuma lening griomba sante ele kratish toka katasinda ha katile e chicho prokivre kanti se sike ligata. For there are things is waiting for you to see, things for you see, seeing and knowing are about the same in that glorious realm. For as you see, therefore your heart will be emboldened. You will take a step forward to places where others are afraid to step into. You will take a swing in the direction that others will say, I see nothing there, but you have seen something there. And then you will find out that promotion doesn't come from the east or the west, but it comes from the Lord. For promotion will come as a result of that single step, and a single step of that kind will swallow up every past mistake. You will find yourself elsewhere in a new plane, holding with you the sheaves of victory, waving it triumphantly, rejoicing because the answer has been made manifest. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. All right, before we go tonight, again, welcome to someone. If you want to, no, we've changed that tax now. Welcome to someone if you want to. What are you doing? You are practicing, exercising yourself. Well, how do I go? I just come to you speaking in tongues. Amen. I just come to you speaking in tongues. What will I come up with? Well, I will have a word for you, a prophecy. Something to say to you that will bless you, that will edify you, that will strengthen you. So I'm not afraid to walk up to you, to anybody. I don't have to premeditate. I just have to depend on the tongues. I will listen to the tongues. I will see the tongues. I will hear the tongues. And I will unveil the tongues. And I will minister the same to you. So it matters not who you are. I just exercise myself in these realities. And I enjoy what the Father has given me. I know I've been enriched by Him in all utterance. So I give room. I give expression to all utterance. This is how we roll. This is the reality of what I have. This is the liberty that is mine in Christ. I just exercise it. Offers. Even before the next major demand. Offers. Omali nia kore e subra kandia e kutazia until it becomes a set pattern. Offers. Provisions come. Provisions set. Already available. Provisions upon which plans can be made. Clear, definite plans. Offers. Yeah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hey, Sukrato. Hey, Kiliba. Yes, too. Won't take that long. Won't be that difficult. Won't take that long. Oh, it's taking long to get here. It has taken time for things to arrive at this point, but it will no longer take long. It won't take time again. There's a crystallization of everything that within a short time, the story that has changed will be seen by everyone that has truly changed. In experience, it will change. Thank you, Lord. Antun, Lending, Dendo, Duga, Brede, Jekubraga, Tiki said, Ako, Luansele, Fridiste, Ako, Lieka, Diste, Zesurumo, Beloved, Dearly Loved. Thank you. We're grateful. We're thankful. There's strength everywhere we look. There's confidence in our hearts. Our souls have ascended into a new consciousness. The fresh understanding of your grace and your glory is upon us. Oh, we give expression to the liberties that we have in Christ. And we give honor and we give praise to you, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Prophecy speaking unto men, edification, exhortation, and comfort. Hallelujah. I want to believe that you are comforted tonight, that you were strengthened tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Entrance of His word. Thank Him for His grace, for the outflow of His power, of His goodness. Let's bless His name and thank Him. Father, we give you glory and we thank you for Friday. Thank you for the precipitation of great things. Thank you for many that are coming from outside. Thank you for the fellowship of the saints. Thank you because the name of Jesus is exalted in our midst like never before. Thank you for the things that are shed forth. Thank you for the things that are seen and received. Thank you, Father, for the things that are rectified. Thank you for the restitution and restoration. Thank you for your power in great demonstration. We give you praise for these mighty things and the liberty that we have to walk in those things. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' precious name, have a wonderful night.